And reading my devotion a while back, what jumped out at me, what I shared, a little bit I shared with you about our human perspective and God's perspective. You know, God don't do things the way a lot of times we think he should do them. And if we get caught up in that God doesn't do everything the way we want him to do it, if we're not careful, even as believers, we're going to get an attitude. And we're going to get an attitude against God, Danny. And some get an attitude so bad because God is not doing what they think he ought to do. And they say, well, I ain't going to serve you no more. No. What's the use? What's the use in serving you when all of my dreams and all of my desires and all of my, what I think are my needs, and you don't meet them for me? No. I might as well just go off and do my own thing, because it doesn't seem like God is doing me no good. Now, and I know when we spiritual folk hear that, a lot of times we'll say, No, that's truth. That's true. You see, we have to constantly be reminded that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so all my ways are higher than yours, your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. When God decides to let us know the higher ways and the higher thoughts are his. How many know you and I don't always think like God thinks? Sometimes I think God ought to do this after I've done this. See, sometimes we'll say, well, I'm going to do this for the church, or I'm going to help somebody, or I'm going to do this, that, or the other thing, a good thing now. But in the back of our mind, we feel if I do this, then God will do this. And sometimes we even tell people, if you do this, then God would do this. And see, a lot of times when you tell folk that and they believe that and they do that what you told them to do, and God don't do what you said he ought to do, see, what have happened? You have forgot his ways of doing things are not yours. See, a lot of times we tell folk about godly things using our own opinion. Watch this now. And sometimes it's not just our own opinion. Watch this. Sometimes it's our own experience. Walk with me now. But just because God did that with you, don't mean he gonna do it with Brother Ricks. And though he did it with you after you did that certain God good thing, he did that with you. You see, God's ways and thoughts are always on the move. And no matter how he decide to work with me a little different from the way he worked with you in the past, it's still all right. Because I need to understand there is my human perspective, what I think about a thing, how it should go, and then there's God's perspective. You and I, as Christians, God say, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. When you and I are controlled by the Holy Spirit, we're going to think God's thoughts. because we are being controlled by God himself. See, even after you get saved, God said, be ye filled with the Spirit of God. Be not filled with wine or liquor or drugs, anything that can control you, Danny. Watch this. You know what he's trying to say? He's trying to say because those other things try to be competition against me in controlling you. See, some folk let greed control them. Some folk will let pride control them. Some folk will let who I am control me. Man, when you really worship God, you will say he's God all by himself. You say he's the only one I bow to. I don't bow to no man or no society or no group. This world is not my home. I'm sojourning here, and I'm a pilgrim, and I'm a witness for God. And see, a lot of our attitudes as Christians now, not talking about the ones that ain't born again, a lot of our attitudes are wrong, y'all, because you got a wrong perspective about God. And once you get that right, it's going to help us. That don't mean we ain't going to have no troubles. If you live godly, you're going to suffer. Well, that doesn't seem right, God. It seems like if I live godly, I don't have no business suffering. I have no business. I got a low threshold for pain, God. Yet it seems as though when I came to you, I thought my days of pain would be over. But it seemed like it didn't matter whether I came to you or not. Pain still seemed to be on my trail. Yeah, my ways. They're not yours. You see, the things you are talking about that should be and ought to be, where are you digging them up from? Now, your thoughts. That's how you would do it. Watch this. Watch this, Brother Dave. You before God, tell me what you would do, but you clothe it in this what God will do. Uh-huh. Because you try to get spiritual. But God is saying, you come up with how you and you and you and me, how we would do something with limited knowledge. We got limited knowledge about if I do it this way, what's going to happen, who it's going to benefit, and will it bring glory to God. I don't have all that knowledge. Or will it destroy something that God is about to do and I don't know what he's about to do, but I jumped the gun and I put this in place. And God said, no, don't put that in place. You're going to block your blessing. There are some blessings you got to wait on. There are some blessings you got to go through the furnace. You can't go around the furnace. And you can't even be shielded or insulated from the heat. Sometimes God will let you get in there. He said, because that's my thought for you today. Oh, no, I didn't let so-and-so get in there. Mm-mm. But I'm going to let you get in there. See, because I'm doing something with you that I'm not necessarily doing with that your brother or your sister. See, God has saved a lot of us. But it was one at a time. It's an individual thing. See, when you came to the Lord, I didn't come the same time you did. I didn't get saved the same time you did. Huh? And you didn't get saved the same time I did. I don't know what your situation was when you came to the Lord. You don't know what my situation was when I came to the Lord. But I'm glad we all came. But you got to consider these two perspectives. Whether you don't listen to what I'm saying, whether you don't consider it, you're going to live your life dealing with both perspectives. And many times you will cloak your perspective up with God's and say it's God. But God let us know from Isaiah, he says, yours not mine. Yours not mine. Mm-mm. And he didn't stop there, Sister Wanda. He said, by the way, mine better than yours, Wanda. See, he said all that in there. He didn't just say they're different. You know, we can say everybody got their own what? Opinion. Huh? Everybody got their own opinion. But what God says, no, my opinion, man, so much higher than yours. See, God don't make no decision on guesswork. See, all of our situations on guesswork. We don't know how that thing gonna turn out. We hope it turned out right. Huh? And I'm right about it. Huh? We hope it turned out right. Sometime it do, sometime it don't. But God's ways, when we follow his way, no matter how it look, that's why Job could say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He was saying, you know what, when it comes to God, I don't want, he wouldn't say he wanted to be slain. He wanted to hurt. He wants to feel this pain, but he says, if this is what God is doing in my life, when I look at it from his perspective, I gain a new understanding. I understand it's best for me, even though it don't feel good, but it's best for me, Janet, because what God is developing in you and me, and through you in me. God is developing our faith that whatever we go through, we know that there's a better tomorrow when you trust God. And believe it or not, it's a better today because you're trusting God even with your pain. I want to talk about three reasons God purposely permits pain. There's more than that, but I just want to talk about three. Three reasons God purposefully permits pain. Pain is a part of God's curriculum for life. It is not an elective we can avoid or a course we can simply audit from afar. Enduring suffering, whether physical, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually, can tempt, listen to this, us to drop out of God's program of sanctification. Yet if we keep at it, strengthened and comforted by the Holy Spirit, we will receive the greatest graduation gift imaginable, an eternal weight of glory. Brother Barnes, do you have 2 Corinthians 4:17? Oh, did you just put that up there? Did you just put it up there when I said, because I just turned around to see it. Or was it already up there? When I said it, when I turned it, okay, all right. Man, that was fast. Okay. Our light affliction. Now, I want to tie up what I said before. That's part of my message that I was telling you about our perspective and how we see things and go through things. And then I showed you from Isaiah 55, your thought, the way you think about things, I don't think it that way. God thinks that my afflictions is light. I don't think of them as light. Because watch this, Lamar. If it's light, I don't call it affliction. Come on now, huh? I ain't call it affliction. Down there, you come, down there, I'm afflicted. Right away, you'll say, I'm about to get around there. What, you know? Go see the word you're using, Pastor. What's wrong? Am I right? Man, I'm afflicted. Lord, I'm about to call your children. What's going on, man? He called it light. Now watch this. That's God's perspective. See, I'm telling you, and I'm proof texting what I said. Scripture. I'm giving you the word of God on it. So I said it first. Now I'm showing it to you. I don't call my affliction light. But if I stop looking at my affliction from my human perspective, I'm going to always see it as heavy. But the Holy Ghost in me, if I yield, give right away to the Holy Ghost, Janet, then I'm going to see it as God see it. Because the Holy Ghost is God. Are you with me? So a lot of things, we got to put it in perspective, Sylvester, when we are teaching people or telling people about our godly jogging. You know, when you are saved, you got some godly jogging, right? But if you don't break it down to people, they're not going to understand. And if you don't understand it yourself, that an unsaved person got one perspective, and that's their human perspective. And you trying to dump all kind of stuff in them, Sister Boone, and get mad with them. But you got a different perspective when you got the Holy Ghost in you and when he feel you, when he lead and control you, when he takes over. See, when he takes over, you're going to call it light affliction because you're speaking by the way of the Holy Ghost. See, in God knowledge and God understanding, watch this, Sister Frieda. See, God have already padded up with something else so he can call it light. See, he put it against something else so he could call this light. Compare it to, y'all ain't with me. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It seemed like it lasts all. Man, it seems like when you in pain, the nighttime lasts a long time. I got to get up and go to the doctor, but I'm going through something, tossing and turning, and late night, it seems like everything is worse when you feel bad at night. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? So, God say, which is but a moment. Now you got to see how God counts time. See, God can call it a moment, and I'm saying I haven't had this thing 2 years. I'm suffering with this, going back and forth to the doctor, up and down with it, and he called it for a moment. But you got to know who's calling it. And you got to know how he count times, Sister Tracy. Oh, my God. And see, I got that perspective. I got the Holy Ghost. See, the things I'm telling you, I can understand the word. See, the word of God, the unsaved can't understand it. Am I right about it? Because it's spiritually discerned. All right? I can understand it because I'm spiritual. I have the Holy Ghost. I have the teacher living in me. So therefore, I preach the word of God because you saints out there can understand the word of God. You have what it takes. When you yield way to your Holy Spirit that's in you, you can understand every bit what I'm talking about. You're not in space right now. You right on point. But I'm going to tell you something. We have to have this preaching. We have to have this teaching so God can keep us straight. And we won't be saying a lot of error about situations and things and leaving out the spiritual end of it. And also, we'll have more grace on the unsaved. See, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Wait a minute. this pain is working for me? Wait a minute, Danny. I'm trying to get rid of it. And God says, just for a moment. Just for a moment, Sheila. God said, I know what you're going through, but it's just for a moment. When I look at time, and oh, girl, that ain't but a moment. But did you know what is working for you? Oh, I know that. Now, I'm in pain. My human perspective wanted to go. Huh? No matter what type of pain it is. Walk with me now. Can y'all walk with me? Can you bear with my foolishness? Can you bear with me a little bit with the scriptures? Can you? Because you're going to, if you grab hold to any other stuff, your problems are going to be gigantic. And you're going to think your problems are eternal. When God says, but for a moment. Huh? See, you did the right thing, Dr. Lamont. Even through that stress and whatever, you didn't turn back. You kept coming. But for some reason, Satan didn't want you here. You could have easily got frustrated. Said, wait, no. This too much. One thing after another. You frustrated, your family frustrated. We going to stay home. He said, but for a moment. I don't want you to get, I don't want him to get here. See. He see too clearly. There are some things that you and I are going through right now. We need to know it's but for a moment. And also, Sister Duncan, is working something out for me. And look who said it, Sam. Look who said it. This is the word of God. Pastor Rich didn't say it. Don't leave out here and say, no. Pastor Rich preached the word. Your Bible. See, you got your own Bible. Don't y'all have your own Bible? Open your Bible up and look in and see what your Bible says. See, it's working. So now I got to change my attitude, and I got the word of God to help me so I can change it. And when I change it to God's perspective, I'm changing it and looking through the right perspective. Huh? And say, my wife and your wife is going through something, and we call it affliction, but God says only for a moment. Oh, Lord. Doris is only for a moment. Huh? No. Somebody greater than me said it. Somebody whose thoughts are not my thoughts. And I got some good thoughts because I'm Danny. But somebody from Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, I can't touch him. He got to help me to breathe. His atmosphere. So what I'm saying is, God wrote this love letter to us that we can have more than one perspective of life and life's journey, life hardships. See it from God's perspective, because you belong to him. He's responsible for you and for me. So he said, well, you got to read that word. You got to study it, show yourself approved. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of God. Got to cut it straight. Man, if I would lean to my own understanding, I'd stop preaching. I'd be so deep in my pity party and all that's going on around me and with my sister, my brother-in-law, and my neighbors across the street, all kind of stuff. Two or three people already entered into hospitals. Man, I would fall apart. Then I'm still going over, sitting with them and asking about their salvation. This is serious business. You got 3 months to live. Come on, somebody. And I got to come and preach about pain, but see it from God's perspective. Y'all want me to go on? Okay. He says, it's working. See, sometimes when you're in pain, you don't think nothing working for you. I don't know. Because I'm so wrapped up. Ooh, ow, ooh, ow. Look, don't touch me here. Just let me rest. Matter of fact, shut the door when you leave. I'm going to be okay. But right now, I just want peace and quiet. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When you're really hurting. Okay, I know you just come and say, how you doing? I don't even want to respond. I'm feeling kind of, I nod my head, but give me a break before you come back. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I got to remind myself when I'm God's child. Now, if you're not God's child, you can't claim this. But as God's child, when I go through something, I need these scriptures. I need them to come back to my memory one. Because if not, I'm occupied with my pain. And when I'm occupied with my pain, I don't see no gain. But when I'm occupied with God, oh, look or hear. See, I can't call God a liar because he can't lie. That's why if you're going to preach to me, I got to have a word. All that fancy stuff ain't going to do me no good. It sounds good. And you can do all that fancy stuff and all that. It sounds real good. It really do. And you get the crowd going and you can rhyme it and set it up. But is that does say the Lord. See, what I'm giving you is what God said. Look, there's eternal weight of glory. Huh? But if I don't look at my situation and my pain from God's perspective, I won't see none of this. Or if I do see it and the preacher trying to preach it, I'm going to shut him off. My mind going to be out there on one of my, did I cut the washing machine off? Where I'm going to eat when I leave here? Where are all the people that didn't come to church today? I just can't get into the Word of God because they need to be here to get me in the Word of God because I worship them. No, no. There's a song that Newman say, I'll go if I got to go what? By myself. Huh? Because I know where I'm going. See, he's worth it. Saint, say it over here. Jesus is worth it. Saint, say it over here. Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worthy of all my praise. Jesus is worth it. He's worth all of my praise. I come to church to worship him and him only. Don't come to worship the preacher, the deacons, my fellow members, the trustees, nor the ushers. So if Jesus is here, I'm all right. Well, that was my first point. Yeah, I didn't give you the first point yet. Okay, that's in my notes. Okay, let me finish that. Yeah, okay. I want you to see the eternal weight of glory. From our human perspective, pain often seems pointless, even devastating to our faith. God, you keep in this. How can I keep trusting you? And you ain't get, I heard that if you get saved, he'll heal you. He's a healing God. That's what they told me. So, matter of fact, that's why I got saved, because I came in the wheelchair. And they said, I asked the man that led me to the Lord, I said, do Jesus heal? He said, yeah. He said, sign me up. He said, and that was 20 years ago, and I'm still in the wheelchair. Come on, somebody. Can we get real? But the man told him truth. He do heal. First, he going to heal your soul, keep it from hell. But I got to tell him if he decide to. And the reason I got to say that his thoughts, now I probably would heal you. But we do things on limited information. Sometimes God know if I take this burden off of you, you ain't going to be able to be used by me. You see, sometimes when you don't have everything that the world thinks you need to have and you are still serving God, if something have happened to you and everybody say how godly you are, and you cease serving the Lord, then it was all a sham anyway. You see, we don't have a fair weather Jesus, and we shouldn't be fair weather saints. Pain gonna come, but it's a light affliction. See, I'm growing. When I can tell the truth, yes, it's painful. Not gonna lie to you. But I know something else too. See, I know something besides the pain. I know something else besides the affliction. I know that it's light and it's for a moment. See, God didn't give me temporary life. He gave me eternal life. My life have no ending. So all of my life that I've been granted in this new birth, I'm not going to be afflicted. Huh? There's some glory. There's some crowns. Come on, y'all. I got more life to live with Jesus than I ever going to have on this earth. Anybody, it is a saint with me in the house. Okay, you telling me, go on, sit down, Pastor. You ain't blessing nobody, sit down. I got to go, though, because I ain't got to my first point. I'm still reading my introduction. But I got scriptures all in my introduction, so. But am I making any sense? Is it coming together? You know, with what I gave you first about perspective and different things that's going on in our own lives. Because I tell you the truth, I'm really just sharing with you guys my message, because I want God to remove some things, but he decided he's not going to remove. Matter of fact, a lot of times when you want God to remove some things, sometimes they get worse. Okay? Now, you are asking God to remove it. Now, human. Remember I say, keep in mind when I talk, I'm speaking about two perspectives. And if you born again, you got both of them. See, what Paul wrote Romans 7. Okay, and in Galatians, the flesh and the spirit fighting one another. But you in this pain. And you're asking God to remove it. But then it seems like he's not removing it. It's lingering. And it's getting worse. Your human perspective say, well, God, at least if you were not going to remove it, at least you could stop it. Keep it at level one. God, you're not going to remove the cancer. Don't let it go to stage four. Talk to me, somebody. Talk to me. We are praying for healing. But not only do you not move the pain, when I started, it was at level one. And when I fast and prostrate before you, it went to level two. When I say, hey, it doesn't matter, God is still able. I kept on. You went to three. I supposed to hold my sanity, God. I supposed to still be the upstanding Christian. I'm supposed to say, for God I live and for God I die. When I feel I'm dying from this pain that you're permitting to take place in my life. God, you are breaking my heart. And you know about a broken heart. You don't want me to break your heart. Well, keep in mind, now, I'm looking from my human perspective. Stay with me now. Because I have, as a believer, you have, as a believer, you got two perspectives. The world don't have it. This is when I got to go where I should have been all the time. Look through God's perspective. Say, okay, God, it may not be your will when I look through your prayer to take away this pain. It may be your will for me to go through this pain. But don't leave me, God, as I'm going through this pain. Get under my arms. Undergird me if I got to go through. Because I don't want to curse your name. I don't want to say to people, God ain't all he claimed to be. Show me from thy word. Thy word is truth. Your perspective. Fill me with thy spirit that I would think the thoughts of God and realize I got eternal life. I got a new body. I got a new home. I got a new destiny. There's a new Jerusalem. Oh my God. I'm just going to walk through my points because I spent. And look at this. This one right here. From our human perspective, pain often seems pointless, even devastating to our faith. But God assures us, who are believers, watch this now, that everything from trials to tragedy, from adversity to affliction, all things work together purposefully, you got to get this, for the ultimate good of the believers. Romans 8:28. Can you put that one up, Steve? Do you have that one? Did I give you that one? That's a very familiar one. That can only be God's perspective. Because there are some things. God, how in the world is that working? I don't fully understand all of God's thoughts. And I'm not ashamed to say it. Maybe y'all do, and that's good. That's good. I don't. But you know what? I got to understand. He don't expect me to understand everything he understands because he just told me his ways and his thoughts different from mine and higher, greater. But he just want me to trust him. He want me to trust him. So the word of God helps build my faith. That's why I have to have the word of God. You can't just, with the serious stuff that I'm going through, you can't just preach this microphone to me. It ain't gonna do me no good. I got some serious problems. I gotta have that word. And we know. Do we? We should know. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the call according to his purpose. There it is again, his purpose. Things that God permit is purposefully permitted. Did you hear me? Yeah, I said it. Yes. See, he can do that because he has an understanding of what he's doing. See, he purposely permits Satan with Job. He purposely permitted that. He knew what he was doing and didn't fully tell Job. Because it wasn't Job's purpose. It wasn't his wife's purpose. It wasn't his friend's purpose. It was God alone's purpose. Matter of fact, watch this now. It won't even Satan's purpose. Because Satan would want to kill him, not just his children. But God said, you can't take his life. God said, now I don't purpose that. Oh, look at here now. There's some things that God don't purpose and ain't going to happen. All right, let me move on now. All right, the first thing, and I ain't going to keep you long with this, is three reasons God purposely permits pain. One is to develop our faith, James 1, 2 to 4. To develop our faith or strengthen our faith. See, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times we think we okay. Our faith is strong enough. Yeah, until the tsunami of pain hit you. Or the tsunami of situation hit you. Wait a minute, I thought she was a Christian. And by the way, we're in church, right? And y'all going to be truthful with me, right? You can be truthful because God already know. When you're going through something, tsunami or situation, and you frustrated, don't know how you're going to get out and all that, and somebody walk, they ain't got no problem right now. And they say, I thought you had more God than that in you. You ain't acting like you got no God in you. Now they're doing fine. Tears coming out your eyes. Bankrupt. Everybody sick. Even the dog that ran away. You hitching a ride to church. Church and to work. And then the one who gave you a ride to work say he tired of picking you up. That happened to me. I started walking right then and got me a sucking car. That was my first sucking car. Right there in Portsmouth in my apartment over there in Portsmouth, and I just worked down in Great Bridge at the dredging company. And the guy was giving me a ride, and my wife had to go to work, so we had but one car. You know, we had one car, so she get to work, because he lived right here with Portsmouth too. And we worked, he's a welder, I'm a machinist. We worked right there together, so hey, and I'm paying him. I called up. I said, I can't make it today. Ain't got no ride. They don't want to hurt you. Ain't got no ride. You keep on. You ain't got no job. But then I asked, is Lamb there? Oh, yeah, he was here early on time. Now I'm hot. Now I was unsaved then. Now here's the, I wasn't saved. You always been saved. Y'all always been saved. Huh? Oh, okay, now I wasn't saved then, Danny. I was hot. Because you're dealing with my livelihood. But I had to, but I started walking because my wife wasn't home. She gone to work with the one car. I walked downtown High Street and bought me an old car right off the lot. Because my walking cooled me down. Now I walked from over here in Portsmouth all the way to High Street, walking hot. I cool off a little bit. And because I said, that's his car. It don't matter that I'm paying him. He don't have to ride me. He didn't want the money no more. He didn't want the inconvenience. He may want to go off somewhere, not come straight home or whatever it was. But he could have told me. He left me. See, back then, when you missed a day, you missed the job I was on, you missed a whole paycheck. A whole day. You didn't get paid for that. And you couldn't do it like the government. You could take one day here. You took your vacation when it came all together, But anyway, I went on. His perspective was, I'm going to leave him. I don't want him, and I'm going to do it this way. Mine was, I pay you. But then it hit me. Get your own. And then, ever since then, I had two cars. It was a regular one, but I had two cars. You're not going to do that for me. I don't need to lose my job going there and be laying him out on the job and the man gonna fire me, because he's white, I'm black during that time. And also he's the one when we came together, the man made us, when we first started out as laborers, he gave us $2 an hour and called him a helper, gave him $2.75. Dumb you think me. But what can you do? That was a job. Man, that's why I went on to the base. I got out of there. Made good money, but I got out of there. What you going to do? He's a helper. We let him drive a truck. And we in the mud scow. But when they got on him and they had to do some training, I went right in the machine shop. If you can't get in here, you got your got a high school diploma. So I'm going to bring Crest with it right in the mouth. Lay it right on your desk. I said, come on, y'all. Bring y'all's too. He batched me. The rest of them, other than another brother, Alan Ray, he was going to North State during that time. But that's how I started my apprenticeship. Okay, that was pain too. Okay, in James, let me go through this now. Okay, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, God brings such testing to prove and to increase the strength and quality of one's faith and to demonstrate its validity. The next one is not only to develop our faith, but to cultivate humility. You know, sometimes we can get too spiritual. In a sense, this way, what I mean by that, in a sense, you become prideful. You begin to look down on people. I got mine, you got yours to get. I am spiritual. That's it. I love the Lord. And you may do love the Lord. But you know, and you may be glorifying God in your life, okay? But a lot of times God will bring you pain just to humble you. Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. Okay, we're going to go right on to 9, I believe. Okay. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan. God used Satan to do this, to stir this thing up or whatever it was, to buffet or beat me, the buffet has the idea of beat, okay, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, what I said first, now Paul is a character witness. There was no greater evangelist, there's no greater apostle. He loved the Lord. He was sold out for the Lord, and God used him to write all those books. God used him mightily, didn't he? But God, you remember God's ways, Danny, his thoughts, not ours? He said he was sold out. He was sold out. Paul was sold out, one sister. Even being sold out, loving the Lord, and being used mightily, God said, I'm about to bend to heaven and back. Still alive. He went up there and said, I can't speak what I saw, but I've been to heaven and back. God said, I'm about to buffet him. I'm about to cause him some pain. Whatever the situation was, it was painful. I got to do this because I got to humble him. My God, you mean sometime I may be going through something. And it may not just be to develop my faith. It may be say, Rick, I got to humble you, man. I mean, man, look at your life. Look at your life, Rick. Come on, man. Roll back the curtains of your memories and see from whence I brought you. You know, I mean, come on now. He said, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying that's my case or whatever. But with Paul, that was his case. And we know how greatly God used him. And he said it. Paul said it. He knew the reason for it. But he still, it was no less painful. Knowing the reason, and it was painful. And he asked for the removal. See, when something bothers you, it's all right to ask God to remove it. Don't let your friend tell you God ain't going to move it. You ask God to remove it if that's what you want. You let God tell you what he's going to do with it. Don't let nobody, because they don't know. Because I'm telling you, God will work one way with you and another way with me. Now, that's where it gets tricky, because you would bring your experience to the table and say, let me tell you, this is how this works. No, that's how that worked with you. See, a lot of times, God is doing a little something different with Dave than he is with Bro Rick. God is doing a little something different with Alvin than he's doing with Lamont. So he don't need to use the same thing on Alvin as he'll use on Lamont, because, see, he got a different purpose for what he's doing. Are you following me? Because his ways. And his thoughts. Oh, my God. Now, let me tell you something. Don't get tired of going into the spiritual realm. I'm taking you biblically into the spiritual realm. Because if you don't travel the spiritual realm as a believer and you just deal with your own human perspective, you're going to run your whole life, even though you're saved. Nobody's saying you're not saved. But you're going to lean to your own understanding. And you're not going to acknowledge God. It's my job to feed the flock, to teach. That's my job. Okay? You may not want it, but that's what it is. It's not to tickle your ears. Because you take these addresses, go home and get deeper. Okay? Okay. Let me finish reading through this here. Concerning this thing, yeah. I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Okay, let's move on. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, if that be the case, thank you, Lord, for enlightening me to your perspective and not mine. See, when I had only my perspective, I asked for removal. Come on, somebody. Walk with me, Dwayne. Paul, as great as he was, loved the Lord, a godly man. Am I right about it? Even being a godly man, a great messenger of Jesus himself, he asked for removal of that which Christ wanted to stay there. But once God told him the purpose of letting it linger, oh, he moved into, oh, my God. Oh. That's just good to me. I'm sorry. Let me get myself back together. Let me get serious in here. It's okay. Therefore, if that's the case, I can say therefore. Because of the scriptures that preceded the therefore, when you see therefore, wherefore, you ask, what is it there for? He says, because there's a change about to come, a change of attitude, a change of perspective. All of that's about to happen. Therefore, most gladly, I don't only do it, I do it gladly. I do it with joy. I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wow, Danny. Now see, you ain't gonna say all that and you in pain through your human perspective. You and me ain't gonna say that. You gotta be filled with the Holy Ghost. He says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He realized the power of Christ upon him will open up more doors of evangelism more folk would get saved, more ability he would have to do things and fight against the devil and everything else. But the most important thing to Paul, even though those things he wanted to do those things and be equipped with the strength of Christ resting upon him, but most of all, he wanted his life to glorify Christ. That's it. And when Christ told him, it glorifies me by leaving the pain there. Danny, you think we'll say, if God said, I still want the pain to go. See, maybe I'm not as spiritual as Paul. Or could I say, when I realize, okay, God, because I want to glorify you, grip my teeth and say, okay, God, what will we do? It's calling on what spiritual level we are. But God knew what spiritual level he was. Am I right about it? Okay, is that it? See, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Whew, good gracious. In reproach, in need, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you feel strong when you are weak? Talk to me, y'all. Why not? Let me move on. I don't want nobody lying here. No, leave alone Ricks. Ricks, move on. Let me get the last one so I can just come on down. Okay. God was allowing Satan to bring this severe pain to Paul for the purpose of humbling Paul, who, having had so many revelations, including a trip to heaven and back. The last one, not only to develop our faith, not only to cultivate humility, but also to ultimately to glorify God. 1 Peter 4:12-16. A Christian who is persecuted for righteousness in this life will have overflowing joy in the future because he brings glory to God. Okay. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Don't bring no pain on yourself now because of your sin. Yet if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be what? Ashamed, but let him what? Glorify God in this matter. I'm done. My Lord.